Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to ACC News, the unique internet broadcast series that brings you together with some of the most amazing and interesting individuals from the world of business, industry, health and wellness, art, entertainment, and many more. From company owners, CEOs, and presidents, to the most inspiring people who create the magic behind the scenes that make their company's products and services so special. Here is your opportunity to live their experience and journeys through the words of the ones that actually made it possible. Live worldwide. This is ACC Global News.
Good afternoon to everyone around the globe. Welcome back to ACC Global News. I am your host, Matthew Connor, and again, I am very happy and grateful to be with all of you here today. Again, we are welcoming all listeners from North and South America and also from overseas. Now, today we bring to you another very wonderful and very inspiring guest. We have with us spiritual evolutionist, Christina Loving, and she is the founder of The Loving Path. And again, to anyone tuning in today that has ever had an issue with finding inner peace or overcoming obstacles, please listen in very closely to the valuable knowledge that Christina will share with us today. We have a very wonderful show. It is now Monday, the 30th of January, and I would like to remind everyone tuning in today, especially the people from overseas that are in different time zones, if you do miss any of our segments or even a portion of our segments from today, you can listen to our show on our Blog Talk Radio website. Please visit us at blogtalkradio.com/ACC Global Media, and if you are part of social media, you can also visit us on Facebook. Please go to facebook.com/ACC Global Media. Or you can also visit us on Twitter. Please go to twitter.com/ACC Global Media. And you can really enjoy our shows at any time of the day. Now, our guest today, Christina Loving, I'll give you a little bit about her background. Now, Christina herself has endured several personal tragedies throughout her youth. And what that actually did was bring an extremely negative outlook on life for her, for her life in general. And losing her mother to cancer at a young age is what brought this about. What she then did was really use her amazing God-given abilities to persevere. She relocated to the U.S., and she earned a master's degree in science. She then went on to succeed in the corporate world for more than 10 years, at some point she decided to then use her knowledge and incredible life experience to help other people. And in times of need, many people, we believe that maybe seeking the help or advice of others is somehow considered weak-minded. Christina truly believes that there is an importance of standing up for yourself. But the idea that maybe we should be able to work out these issues on our own may not always be the best approach. And she really offers a revolutionary approach in assisting people in really uncovering their magnificence of their being, which also really comes from her helping people overcome whatever situations it may be, which would be kind of like disrupting their personal peace or personal happiness. Which is why I am very proud to introduce to our audience today spiritual evolutionist, founder of the Loving Path, Miss Christina Loving. How are you doing on this wonderful day, Christina?
I am doing very well, Matthew. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing very well. We are so happy to have you on today.
Now, thank you. Christina, it's my pleasure.
Definitely. There's many people in the audience. I did give a brief about your background. Can you really explain to them who exactly is Christina Loving?
I ask myself that question often. And, you know, because there's moments where you're like, well, what is this experience? How can I put it, frame it? And the best answer I can give you is that I am an expression of consciousness. Otherwise, why would we be having this conversation, right? And aside from that, there are other things that are have a series of experiences, accumulation of information and knowledge, ways and skills in which to apply it. All of those apply to what I am, really. If we are consciousness, then we're really not a particular individual. We just come to identify ourselves with that sense of being someone. But that's the best way I can describe me is that I'm present and I'm some form of consciousness.
Well, to everybody tuning in and our regular listeners, you're all aware that really to be selected onto our show, you must also really have an inspiring story.
Yes.
Christina, can you please share with the guests your personal journey that's gotten you here?
Absolutely, absolutely. As you said in the introduction, I definitely had experiences in my life where I totally would have chose regularly, kind of like the downside of it, the negativeness of it. I like to explain my experiences having, let's say there are two individuals, let's say two females, same age, similar circumstances, and both of them have the same diagnosis of cancer. One of them dies and one of them succeeds in living. I would have been the one that died. You know, I would have just been all negative about it and oh, bah, humbug, and just looked at all the reasons why I couldn't keep living. And
yeah.
It was just a matter of different circumstances. You know, as you mentioned, my mom did pass away when I was 8 years old, and that was incredibly difficult. I was left in a household with... Yeah, yeah. Now I see, you know, when you go through it, you don't really think, you're just experiencing it, right? Now I see children that are 8 years old and I go, wow, you're nobody, you know? You're just basically starting to formulate what you are and who you are and that you're alive at age eight. And so to have lost such an important model and role in my life is really affected me, I think, in ways I haven't begun to understand. Yeah. And then my experience is, go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay. my dad was a total rageaholic. He just went from nothing to total rage in, you know, 60 seconds flat. It was amazing. Everything bothered him. If you accidentally spilled over a glass of water at the dinner table, that was grounds for complete punishment. He was just incredible, all the things that bothered him and made him angry. You couldn't walk around the house and make noise because that made him angry. So in that, just you lived afraid. You always lived with waiting for the next shoe to drop. And then I had a brother who was bigger, I don't know if you have siblings, but OMG, kids. Talk about finding, they, you know, it's like your entire objective in life is to make your sibling's life as impossible as possible. And every time you succeed at getting their panties in a wad is a score for you and a zero for them, and that was my brother. Oh my goodness, you know. Now I love him. I love him dearly, and we are very close as adults. We are very, very close. But at that time, I think you're just fighting for power, and you're ruthless. You're just ruthless as a kid. Yeah.
I'm sure that the death of your mother again definitely affected your father and your brother in many different and also negative ways as well that they couldn't understand.
Yes, that's a really good point. Really good point. And so all of that just brought on, and it just seemed like I would get in trouble in school. And you know how it is when your life, you're not happy, you're not feeling loved. It feels like you just find trouble everywhere you go. And that's just kind of where I was. And so I felt like all these doors constantly closed for me. And that's why I say that had I been the woman with the cancer, I would have died, because it just feels like every time I turned around to find something that would give me some sense of hope or a desire to live, that door would be closed. It wasn't acceptable to express myself in art or in dance or in laughter or in joy. It wasn't okay. It was just shut down every single way. And so I really attribute that I came out ahead and I'm still alive to grace. Yes, to grace, really. There was some light, a string, a set of crumbs that were left, a trail of crumbs that were left by divinity that I was able to sense and follow and continue to search for a different way of living.
And, Christina, I do know many people actually listening, know many people that's been in similar situations. Many people's lives go south or really get screwed up.
Yes.
With everything that you've been through, what is your biggest influence on how you were able to succeed through all of this?
I started to read, actually, and I remember the first book that I read was The Road Less Traveled by Scott Peck. And he just laid a ground for a world that I knew nothing about. I also, there's a poem by a Chilean poet, Amado Nervo, who says, the very last lines of that poem are, life, I owe you nothing. Life, you owe me nothing. Life, we are at peace. And I remember when I read that, I was furious. I was incensed. I was like, how can anybody on this earth say that they are at peace with life? It was like beyond me. And I remember at that moment, I said, there's a human being on this earth that can say that they are at peace with life. I have to figure out how this happened. How is this possible? And that was really, I would say, the biggest turning point in my life is that it was a quest. It became a quest to understand and live through this poem. And lo and behold, unbeknownst to me, it took years of searching, years of work. I sought therapy. I sought working with alternative healers. I had, you know, just a long, long path. But I found in myself those words. I could finally say, life, I am at peace with you, which was just... to me, it's an incredible accomplishment to be able to really, truly, from your heart and from your gut to say, I am at peace with life. Yeah.
And with everything that you've been through, it's it's so easy to be angry or to really hold a grudge on life.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, anger is really easy to engage in, you know. Yeah, yeah, being bitter, being self-righteous,
yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And to the many people out here, there's many angry people, as you know, right now in America.
Yes.
To everybody tuning in, if you're looking for peace, I think you're listening to the right person that can help you. And now, Christina, I touched on this briefly during your introduction. When or why did you start or decide that you wanted to coach and help other people?
Well, once I made the decision to quit my corporate job and start doing some consulting, I realized from, like, this is an industry level, helping people change in a workplace is one of the most challenging things that you will run across. And it was interesting to me that, there's an entire industry of consultants that are tapped into because industry needs to constantly adapt to the marketplace, and they get hired to help the bosses, basically help people move through change. And so this resistance to change is really, it's common. And if it's common at the industry level because we have basically people, human beings, doing jobs, and we need them to shift, to adapt to a different system, a different way of doing work. It's just one of those things that we do. We like things to stay the same. And I could see if it was an issue at a corporate level, then it was an issue at an individual level. And I feel that I love working one-on-one. I'm really good helping individuals shift. And I saw that through all the information that I gathered, all the classes and the different certifications that I got, I just started seeing that I could help people. Even when I was doing body work, you would run across a stuck emotion or a place where there was really held in anger or resentment,
yes,
or pain. And I saw you can't just do the body work and move these energies completely out of people. You have to help them shift their point of view. Their actual thought process has to shift. And so it became a natural progression to how I wanted to reach out and help any individual that wanted to be have a different experience of life.
Yes. And again, change, it's very difficult for people. And it seems almost as if being angry is really kind of ingrained into our brain or our system, where it's so easy to hold in anger, but happiness,
yes,
is something that could go away so easily.
It is. And some of that I blame when you know, I had a teacher that used to ask me, do you want to be right or do you want to be in relationship? And, you know, most of the time we just want to frickin' be right. The heck with the relationship, right? no fault of our own. We have a structure that I'm just going to define as an ego and a mental body. And we have years of training in seeking right answers in school. You can't get from one place to the next, you know, one grade to the next without having a test where you get all the right answers. So we get trained over and over and over that right choices, right answers are what gets you ahead in life. So the And when I talk about ego, I really am talking at a survival level. This is almost like the reptilian brain in our constitution that learns that being right ensures survival for the next minute. It doesn't matter if that continues, the relationship continues. What's important is that you survive for the next minute. And so we tend to sacrifice a number of things by the wayside because of that urge, that drive to be right. And if you notice in anger, there is that energy of rightness is what gets you, you know, you have a lot of power. Anger has a tremendous amount of generative power. If you look at historically, populations created revolutions, and the first thing that happened is that the population got angry, and then they went and they had, you know, beheaded their or toppled whoever was in power. So the thing to do is to recognize that we're angry and then use it for good instead of evil, in a way. Try to really find, okay, I'm really angry and I really want to make a, you know, impose something, but focus for the greater good of all, which is hard. That puts you in relationship. Focusing in the greater good of all puts you in relationship immediately, and when you want to be right, that's not necessarily what's important.
Yes. And again, I know many people tuning in today are thinking, well, that sounds a lot like me.
Yeah.
If you could really, I guess, share with the audience, and again, many of us have different type of angry feelings in our heart, but what type of different problems have you helped people overcome?
Because of what I do, it doesn't really matter what you bring to the table. There are some things that I can't change. You know, if you are, say, for example, a diagnosis of a terminal illness, let's just go to, you know, the worst case scenario. Sometimes the healing is actually the person transitioning. That is what you need to help the person do is see that when you die, as the process of dying and letting go, is actually the healing that had to occur for the spirit. You know, we really, to accept something like this, we really need to move past the point of view that what you are today, your body, is all that there is, and once you die, it's over, it's gone, nothing else happens. And that is far from the truth. We are this infinite creation that has it's embodied in a spirit and it continues. Maybe the aspects of your personality that showed up in this life are temporary, but who you are in your soul is infinite and continues. And so there is in dying sometimes there is a healing. So that's like the worst case scenario, but in any other way in which people feel stuck, frustrated, sometimes you're in grief. You're not necessarily, you're just grieving. It's not that you're stuck. You're just, you're grieving. Or you would say that you're angry. You know, you're just really pissed at everything, like I was when I was a kid. I was angry at everything. It doesn't matter then if it's a physical thing or an emotional thing or even like a mental challenge, like you want to be better in a certain area of a skill of your life. Because of what I do, I bring a methodology to it. It's almost like if you need housing, I can build you a house. You know, it doesn't matter where in the world we are, housing can be built. And so this is my methodology is totally open. It's really about working with you and where you are in helping you show up in a greater way. So it doesn't matter what you bring to the table. It isn't that I'm specialized in one thing or the other. It's that the methodology I use is open, wide open to bring you to a shift.
And what I do know, Christina, I know many people that are so far gone, and there's many people themselves that believe, hey, I'm so far gone, I feel that I'm so angry. How would she be able to help me, or how would this work? Can you really explain to the audience the type of service that you could provide?
Absolutely. And, you know, it is true. And it's interesting that you say that, because sometimes when you are at the end and you go, nothing works, actually surrendering that can be one of the greatest evolutionary moments in your life. It's really interesting, because here you are, you know, your ship is sinking, you're hanging on to the mast, it's going down, it's all over, you just know there's no hope of anything. And yeah. And here I just tell you, let go, and you end up, you know, you let go, you fall in the ocean, in the water, and you move on. It's really interesting. So I use, there's a lot of consensus overall that consciousness is like an onion. I'm sure many people have heard that. And if I could explain, you know, let's say that we're talking about apples. Well, even if I worked with you, let's say that you had your mom force-fed you apples and you hate them. Even if you have that experience with apple, there's, in consciousness, there's still going to be a relationship to round. There's going to be a relationship to fruit. There's going to be a relationship to trees. And there's going to be a relationship to color, whether it was a red apple or a yellow apple or a green apple. You can see that even though we're just talking about apples, there's all these layers, right? There is the layer of fruit, the layer of geometric form. There's the layer of color. There's the layer of origin. So that's why consciousness is referred to as an onion. And so I basically ask questions, and my questions are repetitive in nature. I ask you over and over the same thing, and it is interesting for people. They go, well, how can there be so many answers to this? And that's why, because you're going to have a relationship to something from every possible angle. And as the questions are asked and you answer, then I just invite you to let go of that. And that modeling, that energy of letting go, is embodied by my presence and my essence. And in even though we have a sense of being separate, in consciousness we really truly are one. And so it's like you get a sense of what it is to let go by interacting with me. And you understand it, and you do let go. And as you let go, it's almost like removing walls from a house. All of a sudden, there is space for you to walk around more freely within your structure of who you think you are. And it changes your relationship with your surrounding.
Yes. So, again, to many of the people tuning in that, again, that are looking for help, when they do reach out to you, how exactly would you hold your sessions? How would that work?
I can do it in a number of ways. Of course, you know, if I'm lucky enough for people to come to my office, I can work with them in person. But I know that, like in this particular outreach, you have people from all over listening to you. And I do work over the phone and as well as online. I don't know if you're familiar with a group called Zoom. It's kind of like Skype. It's just you don't have to have an account. I just send you a link and you can tune in. And then we're basically working face-to-face. And because it's all energy, in the end and in the beginning and in the middle, everything is energy. It doesn't matter that you're not directly in front of me doing the work. It is, the work gets done because it's all energy throughout the whole universe.
Yes, and I actually lost track of time. The time actually went by so quickly We have a little under a minute left. Can you please share with these people where can they go to find out more information about your incredible work or sign up for your program?
Thank you for that. Basically, you can find me through thelovingpath.com. I have my contact information there. You can email me. You can call me. And that's the easiest way to get a hold of me.
Okay. And can you share your email address and phone number with the audience?
Of course. It's Christina, and it's C-R-I-S-T-I-N-A. A lot of people put an H in there. At thelovingpath.com, and my number is area code 559-307-1580.
Okay. And again, we had such a wonderful conversation today. The time went by so quickly. We're just about out of time today. But again, I thank everybody in the audience that did tune into our show today. And Christina, I thank you very, very much for really sharing your incredible story and your practice with us today. I really appreciate you being on here.
Thank you, Matthew. I'm honored. Thank you for having the time to speak to me.
And to everyone out there, you have a wonderful day. Please go to accglobalmedia.com for all future show dates and times. And to everyone out there, I look forward to having you back with us again soon. And to you, Christina, you have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Matthew. You do too.
All righty. Bye.
Bye-bye.